Into the Blender, episode 16.
Stop messing with me. You're not missing a thing. You keep going and I'm just showing that I never stop to think.
You're listening to Into the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us each week discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to technology news.
And whatever else catches our fancy this week.
But it really doesn't matter at all. Love is such a reason to fall.
Hello, everybody. This is Chooch.
Hey, it's Viv.
We're back from the beyond.
Well,
the near beyond.
Yeah. We're feeling much better.
Much better.
Yeah.
You can tell there's still some stuff going on. Voice isn't quite there, but...
Yeah, we're still coughing, but everything else is pretty much...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mostly back to normal.
As far as exercise goes, I still can't do anything. I was outside for like half an hour on Monday and was coughing for the next 2 days because the cold air just really upset my lungs. And so I forget about the... deep breathing and huffing and puffing of exercise. I'm giving myself until the weekend to try that personally. How about you?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. I have not weighed in 2 weeks. I fully expect that I've gained about 50 pounds.
Oh, no.
Since I've just been laying around and haven't been eating the greatest. And like I listened to the new Gut Check cast.
Mm-hmm.
And heard
Zach
about
and Doug.
Zach and Doug's exercise, mm-hmm. and Doug had lost like 5 pounds in the first week, which is awesome.
They're doing great.
But hearing about their exercise and then different people tweeting about the exercise they're doing and just walking from the car into the office. And I was thinking, gosh, I really want to go running again.
Yeah.
But I get winded walking from the car to the office. So I know that, I'm not close.
Yeah. Well, I weighed and like, remember T said, I said something about having Chinese food and there's no way I'm getting on the scales tomorrow.
Right.
And he said, oh, I've eaten badly and I'm definitely getting on the scales. So it was kind of like a solidarity thing. So I got on the scales and I think I had gone up a pound.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on the scales today and I went down a pound.
Oh, hey.
So I'm back where, however it shakes out, I think I'm back to where I was before we got sick, mm-hmm. which is down 11 pounds.
That's great.
So now I'm trying to, because I can't exercise really at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being really, really stingy with calories. So, meh.
And my head's been messed up. I've still been using it as the excuse.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel good.
Yeah. Comfort me. Yeah.
So I got to shake that out.
Yeah. We'll get there. And the thing that has me really scared is we have a week and a day until the 5K.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we're not running it. We're walking it.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll be fun because... our friend Paulette Jackson's going to be there with us,
yeah.
and Scott and May Breakall are going to be there, but they're not going to do it with us. Mm-hmm. We're just, I think, going out for lunch afterwards.
Yeah.
So that'll be a lot of fun, but I'm really disgusted with the hopes that we had for actually running it and doing all that. And now it's just like, we'll be lucky if we can walk it without needing an ambulance, but we'll have fun either way.
Definitely.
And we're still raising money.
Mm-hmm.
Got a nice little pile of donations in our names, so that's cool.
So this weekend was very exciting. We went to RavenCon, which was our first convention.
It's a small convention,
mm-hmm.
and it was, I think, a good jumping off point for us because there were definitely people in costume.
It had a little bit of what you get, of what I always hear about at every mm-hmm. con, but just at a smaller scale, which was really good.
Star Trek costume, medieval knight costumes.
Grievous from Star Wars.
That was very, like, intricate costume mm-hmm. that he had. That was pretty amazing. Although I have to admit, my very favorite part about that was when he went to the concession stand and they gave him a bottle of water and he said, "Can I have a straw?" Because he had this huge face piece on and it couldn't get it to his mouth to drink it.
That was interesting because, so you got, you know, everybody's with pretty cool costumes are cool. We went to a lot of panels, heard a lot of talks about different things.
Yeah.
Mostly podcast stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're able to experience most of the stereotypes, the geek stereotypes.
Yeah.
I'm thinking particularly going into the gaming room, where there's these rotund, sweaty guys rolling dice.
Not looking up with anything other than disdain if you weren't dropping down your bag of dice and pulling up a chair.
Yeah, and I used to do D&D, I used to game, and, you know, I'm a rotund guy, so I'm not, you know, saying anything that I haven't
experienced. It's just a stereotype.
Total stereotype, and that was the gaming room.
Yeah.
And I had my geek badge, which has little red LEDs, and I program a message, and it kind of scrolls across. And so, in the stereotypical fashion, we're in the gaming room, and this one guy is going from point A to point B, which is his gaming table, and, you know, comes across me in between that path, stops, looks at the badge. What does that say?
Because he won't take the time to read the scrolling right. LED letters.
And I say, oh, you know, it's you know, the name of our podcast and my name. And I had barely finished the sentence. He's all, oh, and just
walked off. It was the rudest
Never thing. Made eye contact.
And it was so funny because we had just spent so much time, particularly funny because we had spent so much time with people that were being so friendly and so, you know, outgoing and nice. And then when you enter the gaming room, you literally enter a different realm. It's like a totally different vibe to the convention in that room.
So before heading to RavenCon, MMPA and Dan the Fan and the Quicksilver Kid came by.
Right. That was such a blast.
Yeah. So they drove in from PA and stayed the night with us. And we played. They brought Rock Band. That was so much fun.
It was fun to watch. I wasn't up for playing because I was too busy playing hostess kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I had fun watching you guys and taking pictures and
video.
So they
had. Oh, great.
So
they had. They had two guitars and the drum set and the microphone. And so we were swapping back and forth. Mm-hmm. It was basically me and LT and Quicksilver Kid trading off the microphone. And I guess nobody else wanted to get up and embarrass themselves.
Well, I don't think Dan was feeling really well.
Yeah, that's true.
I think, didn't he drive the whole way? I think he drove the whole way.
Yeah.
And MA and I were off doing girly talk. I mean, come on. She's surrounded by two guys all the time. I'm surrounded by three guys all the time. We needed some chick time.
True.
So I
true, and they're planning a wedding.
Yeah, they're planning a wedding and going through all that stress and stuff. So
yeah.
So we needed some girly time, and we took it.
So that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we all drove to RavenCon together and got to meet a whole bunch of people that we've been talking to through Twitter and podcasts and stuff.
And you'd met some of them at the DFH meetup.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't met anybody except for Scott and May and then MA and Dan, I think, were the only ones that I'd met before.
Yeah. So we got there and jumped straight onto the first panel for us, which was a live reading of the Mr. Adventure radio play. With podcasting's Rich Siegfried and the Vicar from Geek Label and
Myrrh
and Christiana Ellis and a whole bunch of other people.
It had Command Line and Biscuit from Culture Cast.
And so that was cool watching them record and it was really funny. And then
a bunch of other people too.
Getting to talk to everybody afterwards.
Yeah.
And we had our fanboy, fangirl geek out with Myrrh.
Oh, that was so embarrassing.
Getting her to sign her books.
You didn't do the fanboy thing because you had already met her at DFH, but I was such a blithering idiot. I was like, okay, don't pounce. I want her. You know, we were standing there going, okay, well, we brought the hardback Playing for Keeps and the Geek Fu Action Grip book that we had bought from Lulu and really wanted her autograph and was just like, when's the right time to do it? Do we ask now? Do we ask later? Well, she's doing panels. Maybe she'll be too busy. This may be the only chance. And I was like, just give me the books.
Yeah.
So I approached her and I was like, hi, I'm Viv. And And she was so friendly and so nice. And then I just went, I just went total fangirl because I have been listening to the Heaven series. Mm-hmm. And I literally just finished Wasteland the day before.
Yeah.
And I so love the Heaven series. Mm-hmm. If you guys haven't listened to that, it has absolutely enthralled me because it's got religion, it's got mythology, it's got so much to it. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I had just finished listening to it, and I literally went total fangirl, squee, whole thing. Honestly, if I were a puppy, I would have piddled on her foot. It was just ridiculous. And she was so nice and gracious, and then I couldn't make eye contact with her for the rest of the day.
And it was cool that she was like, oh, you got the hardback.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if she had seen the hardback before.
I don't know. She was checking
out. She had a bunch of the trade paperbacks for people to buy while she was doing the panels and
right.
stuff. And because she had grabbed the book and just kind of started flipping through it and looking at it and looking at the binding.
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool.
I'm all about the hardbacks. I want those books to last, you know? Yeah. We got boys that are going to be reading those if I let them touch them.
Right.
Because they're autographed now by Murr. But yeah, I wish everybody that, you know, we go back and forth with, I wish all of them were in hardback. But I understand why they're not. But,
yeah.
You know, it's like, I want them forever. It was embarrassing. So we actually, I was really torn when we first got there because it was the Mr. Adventure audio drama series. It was going on at the exact same time as a panel that I was dying to go to with Laura Burns.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the Webb telescope that was going out. It's kind of replacing the Hubble thing from my limited understanding. So she was doing
since
a panel.
I didn't get to see the panel.
Yeah, it was on at the exact same time. So I was like, well, you know, I'm just going to stick with the pack and went with you guys. And so I was thinking that maybe I could hop out and catch part of hers, but I was wedged in the back.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't get out even if I'd been able to, so...
Yeah, that was one thing. Those conference rooms
completely.
Were very small and very packed.
Very hot.
Yeah, they had to turn the air conditioner off to record.
Yeah.
And yeah,
it was sweltering. But we got to know people right away.
Yeah.
And then we saw Dr. Smar's Red Death presentation. Which I was afraid to go in there because I knew I was going to come out just wanting to douse myself in antibacterial everything, which I was doing anyways. Every time I coughed, I'd get out the antibacterial stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we were meeting so many people. But yeah, that was some freaky stuff. And he's so funny the way he was presenting it, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And this thing, you know, could have wiped out half the planet. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Definitely took the sting out of the Red Death. I don't know. It was really cool, though. And then we went, actually, somehow ended up in the right place at the right time, and we ended up going out to lunch with, 20 people.
Yeah, it was a big, big contingent.
Although I felt really bad because we ended up leaving Paulette behind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was in a panel when everybody was like, must eat now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we went and had just a great time. And I can't even remember everybody was there except I know Scott and May were next to us.
Yeah.
I know Command Line and Smar and Laura. And I can't even remember who else was at the other end of the table. And then
there was a lot of people. So, but at our corner.
Yeah, we had Jet. We had Jet and we had Biscuit.
Jet, Biscuit,
Christiana. Oh my gosh. And we got to talk to her about Shallow Thoughts and all that stuff.
Yeah.
She just cracks me up. I just love her. Her podcasts are so funny. Her audio books are so cool.
Yeah.
But she is a riot.
Oh, yeah.
She's just so quiet.
And we kind of knew that from the, hey, want to watch a movie? Cause,
right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because we've done that a couple times with her. But it's just so different, seeing people.
Just hanging out and talking about anything, any random thing.
And, right. Yeah. And we had MA and Dan on our side of the table, too, with Quicksilver Kid.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a great lunch.
And then back for more panels, and we went through the gamer room, like we said, and went
the
through the dealer room.
Mm-hmm.
Spent a significant amount of time in the hallways.
Chatting and having
just
fun.
Just talking to people.
Oh, my gosh. And Biscuit, he's crazy. He was so funny.
He's hilarious.
Honestly, that shirt that Jet had on with the movie spoilers.
Uh-huh.
Was so cool, and everybody was like, oh, that's so cool. And I'm like, you could take a bunch of one-liners from Biscuit and make a really damn funny shirt with it, because he was just like cracking me up. Too funny. And I had made, I don't know if anybody listens. Of course, y'all listen to Culture Cast. What are we talking about? Of course you do. So y'all know who Biscuit is.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that y'all heard the story about his girly dessert, the peach melba.
Peach.
He had ordered a peach melba. He'd never had it and wanted to try it. And then he took total hell because it was such a girly dessert.
Mm-hmm.
So we were going back and forth in Twitter one day, and I said, you know, you needed to man it up. You need something to man up your girly desserts or right. something like that. And said, you know, I'll just throw some spark plugs on the plate. That'll man it up. And he's like, oh, I so wish I'd said that. So then Paulette actually sent me a direct message in Twitter and said, okay, how are we going to figure out how to make marzipan spark plugs before, you know, the next con? So I was like, oh, well, I can't do marzipan. That's sculpting. But let me work on this. Uh-huh. So then I found some candy molds of spark plugs.
Yeah.
So I made up a bunch of, like, spark plugs and got the, they were white and had the luster dust to make them look, you know, like silver metal, mm-hmm. like spark plugs do, and put them in the girliest box that I could
that
find.
That's hilarious.
I actually ordered this really girly flowered box to put the candy in and gave it to him at RavenCon. And so I don't know what, he didn't bring them to lunch.
Yeah, he put them back up in the room so they yeah. wouldn't.
And then at one point he said, they're really good. So I think he started eating them. I'm like, dude, the whole point is you put them on your dessert plate so that you look manly. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he probably wanted to, you know.
Probably got the munchies.
Eat them before Susan Z got a hold of them.
Possibly. I don't know. I don't know that she would have gone for that as much.
And, it's kind
and
of,
I don't know what they tasted like either, because they're just like that candy coating, yeah. that white candy stuff. So I don't know what they tasted
like. It was kind
like.
Of funny. I listened to the last Culture Cast today, and it was one that they recorded just before RavenCon.
Mm.
So the next one they'll actually, you know, talk about RavenCon. But in this,
I'm sure he won't remember those.
In the last episode, somebody had said something about it. I think they were joking about him drinking apple teenies or something. and he mentioned something about throwing a spark plug in one.
No way. Yeah. I haven't heard it yet.
So,
oh, wow.
So it was on his mind before RavenCon, but he was pretty tired. He'd been up for like 24 hours yeah. when we met him there. So
yeah, and he was drinking at one point, so yeah, there's no telling. I don't think he'll remember. I think he was drinking, he got the munchies, they're gone. He probably woke up Sunday and said, what the hell is this flowered box? No recollection, I'm sure, but it was funny.
Yeah, it was funny, and he was cracking up when he first got them.
Yeah, and I never would have thought of doing that if it wasn't for Paulette. And I'm just mm-hmm. like, oh my God, sculpting marzipan? No, must find molds. So yeah, that was fun though. And then we tried to set up something, a big dinner.
Yeah.
But it was just too many people.
Yeah, that was.
And half the people ended up leaving, and then it was a nightmare getting the pizza ordered.
That was a fail.
So it was, well, it was a fail as far as what we thought we intended is going out
right.
as a big group. And it
right.
ended up being pizza. And then it ended up taking an hour and something for the pizza to mm-hmm. get there. But once we got in the room and we had everybody, that was fun.
Yeah, we just took over one of the conference yeah. rooms and yeah. lined these six large pizzas up on the table.
And drinks and stuff.
People ran out to the ice machine.
Well, you know, I'm telling you what, that podcasting's Rich Siegfried. He can mm-hmm. throw down a party at a minute's notice.
Yeah.
He organized. Christiana was trying to order the pizza, and there was some crazy chaos between the two pizza joints not wanting yeah. to deliver to the hotel. So he, like, went and got the pizzas. He got sodas. He went and got ice. He totally organized mm-hmm. everything and got us all fed. So thank you so much for that. Podcasting's yeah. Rich Siegfried. So that was really nice of him, because he definitely took a hold of things. I was practically on the floor with lack of food, so I was yeah. really grateful to him.
Yeah, it was starting to get pretty late.
It was fun, though. And then after that, we, I think we kind of just all split off at
yeah,
that point.
Yeah, we pretty much headed home.
Because it was late, and we had to get back in time for, well, and that was the other fun for our weekend, is that LT, our tween, was going to see Jimmy Eat World and Paramore with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
And my niece. And so she was going to be bringing him home around midnight. So we needed to be home by then. And then M, our teen, had prom that same night. So it was quite the hectic weekend with the house guests, the prom, the concert, the convention.
Getting over being sick.
Oh my gosh. Well, it was just definitely a whirlwind.
Yeah.
And we were going to try and go back out Sunday after MA and Dan and Quicksilver Kid left. We ended up, I literally went back to bed at like 10 o'clock and slept until like 2:30.
So we split off in three different directions.
Right.
But we all had our own individual fun. It's good to, you know, go off and do your own thing now and then.
It was weird.
I know it's good for the kids.
It is good, but it was weird for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely weird for me. I can't think of a concert that LT's gone to without us.
Yeah, that was the first
one. That was the first one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, M going to prom. And we had debated back and forth, well, if I drive back from Richmond and take him over and then go back down, that's like 3 hours round trip. And so my dad ended up just picking him up and taking him over. And so that was all fine. But it's a lot of chaos. I felt like a bad mom the whole time. But in retrospect, I'm glad we did it the way that we did, because it worked out really well and everybody was happy. So everybody had a really great time. So, babe, what was your favorite part of the whole convention weekend thing?
I think it was definitely just hanging out in the hallways and going to lunch with everybody and talking and getting to know Christiana and Biscuit a little and getting to know Jet, just talking with everybody. That was the highlight for me.
Yeah.
How about you?
Oh, that's right up there with it. I mean, I don't know. Honestly, I'm cheating because it was so cool to just meet everybody, you know, and to spend more time with MA and Dan and Quicksilver Kid and meeting everybody and spending time with them. I really enjoyed the panels, too. But like you said, the social aspect of it. And I think part of it is because we've just been trapped in the house for the last couple weeks and had.
Yeah, that's true.
And honestly, we've been so limited socially for a while now because we do everything with the family. When we make time for stuff, it's always family stuff. So just getting out, like when we went to Richmond and hung out with Scott and May and all that stuff. When we went to Philly to visit MA and Dan. When we go to my girlfriend's house and hang out with them or whatever it is. Just being able to do something social that's not about the family. Every once in a while, that's really fun.
Yeah.
It, getting to cut loose, you know, and not worry about this family dynamic or that family dynamic and just be.
Yeah, definitely.
So it was just a whole great package for me. It's really fun.
Yeah.
The teen had his prom. And it was quite expensive. And we footed the bill for it with the understanding that he was going to pay us back out of, he's got a little bit of money saved. And I don't think it's going to be enough to cover it. And I'm not expecting him to pay for everything.
Yeah.
Part of that is stuff that we'll cover, but I mean, like the tux, the prom tickets, the after party tickets, the corsage, and breakfast, because they had the all night, they had the prom. And
the super duper expensive dinner again.
Oh, God. Yeah, they went to Melting Pot again, and then they went to the prom, and then there was an after party that was kind of like a lock in, and they got out really early in the morning, so they were out all night. And they actually won some cool prizes. It's a great school-sponsored thing with raffles and stuff being provided by local businesses. They won two dinners, two movie tickets, a car wash, and cash. So they definitely, I mean, they came out with more than what we paid for them to attend. So that was good. I mean, it's money out of our pocket going into theirs, but it's still good, you know. So they went out for breakfast after that and then came home. And they broke up today.
Yeah,
they broke up again. Apparently, it's not as, he's not as devastated this time as he was last time, but it's, you know, I'm thinking of it as prom was five freaking days ago. We dropped hundreds of dollars and they just broke up. And couldn't you have done this a week ago? Because, you know, the backup plan after they broke up in March and I bought the tickets for the tween to go to the Jimmy Eat World and Paramore concert.
Right.
I also bought a ticket for him to go because I thought, well, if they're not broken up, I'm not going to have him sit at home on prom night missing her and all that. So Friday night when we saw that they were definitely going to prom together, that's when we called my niece and asked if she wanted to go. And I'm thinking, you know, if we'd done this a week ago, it could have saved me like $300 and you could have gone to the concert. But he really had a great time.
Yeah, yeah, they really did.
That was one thing I was talking about to him and he said, but it was really fun, and I'm really, really glad I did it. It was really a great time. So he has that. You know, it's worth it to him, so that's cool.
Yeah, and I was asking him when they got back, or the day after, if they were just kind of hanging out with friends or, you know, or what. And he said, oh, no, we were dancing all night.
Yeah.
They were moving all night, and then the after party thing was that had, you know, the go-karts and unlimited arcade and all kinds
laser
of fun
tag
stuff. So yeah, they really did have a blast.
Yeah, I mean, that's I would love to have a night like that. Are you kidding me? It sounds awesome. So they're going to stay friends. They actually went to a school play together tonight, and so we'll see what happens with that. They may be back together by the next time we record. Who knows?
You never know.
So after all that excitement, we're kind of back to normal now.
Yep.
Yep.
back to a full work week and back to grocery shopping and
me hitting the books again and kids back to school and getting them ready to finish up the school year and making plans for the summer, which has been complicated, and we'll probably talk about that next time.
Yeah.
Getting the whole, you know, changing of the guard, kind of passing the kids between the parents and the custodial and the non-custodial. So, yeah, we'll talk about that next time.
But this weekend...
This weekend?
The kids are going to their grandparents.
Yes.
And we are going to have a movie marathon and do whatever the heck we want.
I know. I know, it's just mind-boggling to think that from 4:30 on Friday until like 6 o'clock on Sunday, there will be no children here. And my first thought is, I'm going to sleep the whole time. And it's like, no, we can't sleep at all. Sleep is for suckers. So yeah, we've got plans, sort of. We plan on seeing a lot of movies.
Right.
We have plans to game on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
And Friday night. We're playing Lotro Friday night and City Heroes on Sunday. We're going to be recording and seeing movies and, gosh, I don't know what all.
Just walk around in my underwear.
What do two grown-ups do when there aren't any kids around and they have the house to themselves all weekend? I don't even remember.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's been so long. Anybody have any ideas? But keep it clean. So that's kind of a lengthy rundown for us, babe. Maybe we should play a promo and give everybody a break from our yapping.
Hey, there's an idea.
Promo time.
Enjoy this word from some show we like.
That we haven't picked yet.
The President of the United States is dead. He was murdered in the morning sunlight by a 4-year-old boy. So began J.C. Hutchins' Seven Sons audiobook trilogy, the most popular podcast novel series in history. Last December, the trilogy concluded. The heroes were triumphant, or so we think. But now, it's time to go back and reveal moments in the Seven Sons story that were merely hinted at in the original trilogy. Welcome to Seven Sons Obsidian. J.C. Hutchins has opened up his Seven Sons universe and invited the seven biggest names in podcast fiction to chronicle a nationwide blackout that rocked America during the Seven Sons trilogy. Seven Sons Obsidian features short stories from these award-winning and nominated authors: Michael A. Stackpole, Scott Sigler, T. Morris, Mer Lafferty, Matt Wallace, Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, and Christiana Ellis. And even more tales from these trailblazing podcast entertainers: Evo Terra, Dan Klass, Wichita Rutherford, George Crom, TD0013, Soccer Girl, and the cast of the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. Obsidian also features dozens of audio and video recordings, stories of the blackout as told by its victims, created by Seven Sons fans across the globe. On May 31st, the lights go out. America becomes a police state. Because when the power fails, chaos reigns. Subscribe now to Seven Sons Obsidian or catch up with the original Seven Sons trilogy experience at jchutchins.net.
Wow, that insert name of podcast here is such a great show. I listen to it every week.
And or book.
Yeah, I'm still not sure what we're going to play, but it's guaranteed to be something we like and we listen to.
Totally, because that's how limited we are. Mm-hmm. We only play what we like.
So we actually had a piece of feedback.
Yes, from your question, from your request. What is the most challenging part of being in a blended family?
We got an email from our friend Pete.
Hey, Pete.
And it reads, hey, just got finished with your latest Into the Blender podcast. I was wondering if any of my feedback of being in a blended family might be what you're interested in, so here you go. My blended family consisted of, let's do this in chronological order, my mother married a man and had two kids, mm-hmm. my older brother and my older sister.
Okay.
6 years later, they got divorced. Within 2 years, they had both remarried, my mother to my father and my sibling's father to another woman. And then I came to be. Yay!
Yay, Pete.
When I was born, my half-brother and half-sister were already 9 and 8 years older than me, respectively, and at the time living with their biological father and stepmother in another city a few hours' drive away. So I grew up in what I considered a weird living situation vis-a-vis my siblings. I knew I had them, but I only really saw them during holidays and sometimes during summer breaks.
Mm-hmm.
As I grew older, and so did they, I saw them more frequently, including my brother eventually moving back into the house to go to the university. But for most of my childhood, I was raised as an only child, especially by my father. But my mother consistently compared me to them as if they were around. When your sister was this age, she never got that kind of mark in school.
Ugh.
Or your brother would never have done such a thing.
I hate that.
And I really didn't know how to take this, as I had never really met my brother and sister. And I couldn't figure out how my mother would know this, as when I did the math, they were that age when they were living with their father, not with her. So I kind of resented my siblings because I was always being compared to them, and they were never around. I grew up alone, but had their shadow still over me. But in a way, they were always a treat to see. I remember when they would come over, I would do anything I could to stay up late for when they arrived after their long car drive, or crying when they had to leave again because I would be alone again.
Aww.
One instance that always sticks in my mind about this thing is when I was in grade 3 or 4, we had a Remembrance Day celebration at my school, and we were asked by the faculty to come up and share with the assembly the name of anyone they had lost. I went up and said my sister's name, as she had recently just left to return to live with her father.
Oh.
And I was very confused about why some people gave me very weird looks and talked about me behind my back about that. It has always been hard to explain to people what a half-sibling is, and I always have to go, okay, hold on, let me start at the beginning. My mother, they now both live in the same town as I, but we rarely talk or interact. And that is about my story. Hope it is useful, Pete.
Oh, Pete, that's so sad. You got the bad part of having the siblings that you had to be compared to, and you had to mourn them every time they left and didn't get that much fun time with them. That's really hard. Hey, I wonder if that's how our kids see things.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. I have somewhat of a similarity where my brothers and sisters are that same kind of age gap. My youngest sister's 9 years older than me, and my brother's a couple years older than her, and my other sister's a couple years older than him. And so when my parents divorced when I was 9, and so it was me and my mom, and...
You were very much like a single child.
All the other kids had moved out.
Right.
And so it was pretty much just me and my mom, and then they were kind of more like aunts and uncles or something.
Yeah.
More than brothers and sisters. So to some extent, I didn't see them as often. My brother would kind of live with us for a while and then move out again and move in and move out. But like I said, he was older, so he had his own thing. You know, he was an adult.
Well, what about your stepmom's kids? Did you ever have like any interaction with them at all?
No. Well, my dad and his wife got married after I was an adult.
Oh, okay.
And so...
And they're older, too.
Yeah. Yeah, they're older with their own kids, and I actually haven't met...
You haven't met any of them.
Mm-mm. So that's a similarity in the age range, but not with the half-brother, half-sister thing.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have any half-brothers or half-sisters, but my ex-wife had a half-brother who was somewhat near her age that lived with her father and stepmother, and that she never knew at all, really. Just saw him in holidays. And I had met him, you know, we went to his wedding. And he didn't live that far. It was, you know, maybe half an hour away.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing him once at their dad's house, and that was pretty much it.
Of course, my family, my parents stayed together. Mm-hmm. So my brother and sister, or my brother and sister, mm-hmm. I don't have any half siblings, but.
But it's a lot like, you know, what M&T probably go through.
Yeah, with their, because they have a stepbrother, mm-hmm. and then they have a half brother and a half sister, mm-hmm. because their dad remarried a woman that had a son from a previous marriage.
Right.
And then they've had a son and a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder how confusing that is for them, and how confusing it is for Jay.
Yeah, and Jay has a half-sister that he lives with.
Right.
So he's definitely closer to her.
Yeah.
Since they're, you know, being raised together.
Right. Wow. It definitely puts a different perspective on it, hearing how Pete, you know, his experiences were.
Mm-hmm.
And comparing and all that stuff. Because I hate that. You know, that's something that every parent is probably guilty of at some point or another. Well, your brother never did this.
Oh, right, right.
I really try not to do that because I resented it when my parents did it. Mm-hmm. And they didn't do it that much.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that that's just the worst thing you can do to a child. Is to hold them up in comparison to another child. Because no matter what, the same two parents, if they stay married forever and they mm-hmm. raise three different kids, like my parents did, they're raised differently. The first child is the guinea pig. The mm-hmm. middle child is raised differently. And the baby is raised totally different. So mm-hmm. it's like, you can't compare kids. They're individual people. It'd be like comparing three strangers on the street.
Yeah.
it's different. You know, you can't do that. And so I really hate when that happens. But when you do that with people that aren't there, mm-hmm. you know, it just seems like you're getting slapped for it and you're not getting the benefit of it, which is, you know, having that close bond. And of course, the fighting. Living with them means that you would be fighting with them a lot too.
It's true. And I got lucky. I never really got compared to my brothers and sisters. Part of that is the sister that's the younger sister mm-hmm. is 9 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And the brother, they are really close. They're just a year apart. And they were kind of, they were 70s kids and they got in a lot of trouble.
Trouble. They were trouble.
Yeah. So they got in a lot of trouble as kids. And so... And I was a pretty good kid overall, so.
Unless you got around them.
Yeah, that's probably true. They were definitely enablers.
Yeah, from the stories you've told. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's definitely like an aunt and uncle thing.
Yeah. So I kind of got the best of all worlds.
Yeah.
I never got compared to them.
Yeah.
When I hung out with them, we partied.
Yeah. You suck.
Yeah, sorry. Though my sister, she used to get very upset with my mom about the stuff that she would let me do. And did that. And mom, you never let us. You would have bent us over if you did something like that.
Yeah. Well, heck, I did that with my parents. You know, mm-hmm. my sister's 9 years younger than me, 12 mm-hmm. years younger than my brother.
Yeah.
And she got away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we've all been there. The baby always gets spoiled, and the parents at that point are just tired, especially with a 9-year age gap. They're tired.
That's a pretty big gap, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we really thank you for opening up and sharing that story with us, Pete. It's a pretty rough road.
Yeah. So if anybody else has stories or
experiences
or questions, then you can leave us a voicemail at 413-669-4720.
Or you can send us an email to endoftheblender@gmail.com or leave a comment on the site at endoftheblender.com.
Yeah, we'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
So it is a weeknight and my eyes are starting to droop.
Yeah.
We should probably wrap this up a bit.
Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you in a week.
Bye-bye.
No.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Just sit back and indulge for a minute. You light the suns in all my worlds. All my worlds. It's hard time you believe. Thanks for listening to Into the Blender. You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at intotheblender.com.
You can send us email to feedback@intotheblender.com.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives 3.0 license.
You are free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content.
Just not modify or make money from it.
Rachel.
Sally.